Have you ever thought about what if you found out that everything that you had done in the name of God or being good amounted to nothing? Zilch, nada. Well, that's what happened to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious man who approached Jesus and learned that you cannot enter the kingdom of God by being religious or moral. Jesus tells him, you must be born again through faith in Jesus. He found out that he had to start all over. And last week we started this series about some statements in the Gospel of John that Jesus wanted us to pay special attention to. 25 times in the book of John, Jesus says, truly, truly, before making a statement. And that word there in the Greek is the word amen. That same word that we end our prayers with. And that word means, so be it, or may it be so, or I agree. And when we use that in prayer, when we say amen, we affirm in faith what we've just prayed about, what we've spoken to God about. But the word amen has a different implication when it's at the front of the statement. An amen at the front of the statement means the following statement is true, and I have firsthand knowledge of it. So when Jesus says these amen, amen statements, or truly, truly, verily, verily statements, he is giving us a signal that these things are important and he knows it firsthand. And that's doubly true when he uses that word amen, amen twice in a row. It's a bold statement about what he is about to say. And last week we saw Jesus say, truly, truly, God is present and working, and he can bring dead things alive. In him is life. And today we're going to talk about being born again. That's a phrase that's kind of fallen out of favor in the church over the years. People associate it with kind of a old school kind of Christianity. And today we'd rather use phrases like Jesus follower or believer, and those things are awesome. But using the phrase born again isn't bad because it's a Jesus phrase. And it comes from John chapter 3. If you want to turn there in your Bible, we'll be there all this morning. You can find a Bible there in front of you or in the app. There's also all those verses will be in there as well in the notes app, also on the screen. But through Jesus' ministry, there was always tension between him and the religious elite. And there was a man named Nicodemus who was a member of the Pharisees and a part of the Sanhedrin, which was kind of like the ruling council, their supreme court. And so you have the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the chief priests at the temple. Basically, anyone that was in religious power at that time was not comfortable with Jesus. And Nicodemus is part of this group, the Pharisees. And they stressed strict obedience to the law and to oral traditions. And they saw Jesus as a threat because he challenged their hypocrisy and their authority. And he often called them out for caring about more about their appearances and how they came off as holy people in front of everyone. That's what they stress rather than true righteousness and inward change. So there were 6,000 Pharisees, give or take, at that time. And they were very elite. And these were the most dedicated and passionate religious people in that culture. But Jesus, throughout his life, would rebuke them over and over again for being overly concerned with outward rules and regulations rather than inward transformation. So Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. And here's a, I don't know how well it'll show up, this picture. Yeah, that's pretty good. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night because he didn't want to be, most likely because he didn't want to be seen by all these other religious people that had all their thoughts and ideas about what people should do. Nicodemus came in the dark, but he was also, we're going to see, he was also in the dark about a lot of things as well, namely what it meant to be a child of God. So John chapter 3, verse 1 is where we'll start. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher came from God, For no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. We see Nicodemus start off here with respect, and he uses the term rabbi when talking to Jesus. And he says, we know that you are a teacher that has come from God, for no one can perform the signs that you're doing if it were not from God. Jesus didn't have the official credentials of a trained rabbi. He was more of a blue-collar man, a carpenter, not a scholar. But Nicodemus deferred to him, even though he was the one that was the religious elite. And you see some humility on Nicodemus's part. And Jesus was doing things that no one else had ever done. And Nicodemus could tell that Jesus was different. But the signs that Jesus did were not just displays of power, they were clues pointing to something greater. Nicodemus came to kind of bend Jesus' ear and to see if he could find out more about this Jesus, maybe even to flatter Jesus a little bit by calling him rabbi. But Jesus cut straight to the truth and says, you must be born again. And the Jewish people at this time, they were in they were conquered by the Romans, and they wanted their Messiah, this coming person that prophecy had told about, to be their king and to bring a kingdom and to free them. But Jesus made it clear that what they really needed was to start over spiritually. That was more important, and they had to be born again. And that word again can also be translated from above. To be born from above. They were missing something about heaven and about God. They were religious, but not truly alive. And Nicodemus didn't understand how this worked. Does Jesus really want me to be a newborn baby again? But Jesus speaks of a different kind of second birth. Being born again of the Holy Spirit is the way to enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was born first as a Jew, the children of God, but that wouldn't be enough to get him into God's kingdom. He needed to be born again of the Spirit. Well, Nicodemus is blown away. His flabber is gasted. And he didn't understand. In verse 9, it goes on, and Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and we bear witness of what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So Jesus presses on Nicodemus a little bit against the fact that Nicodemus doesn't know what it means to be born again. He says, you're a teacher of the law, and regeneration by the Spirit was talked about often in the New Testament, but Nicodemus didn't get it. Nicodemus didn't get things already revealed on earth. So Jesus says, why would I tell you deeper spiritual things? But then Jesus drops the big one on Nicodemus. Jesus is holding a royal flush, and he lays it all down on the table. And that's John 3:16. Let's read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God loved, and Jesus came. And God sets the standard that love isn't a passive thing or just a feeling. It takes action. And people needed to be born again, and Jesus made a way for all people to be saved. And the Messiah's first coming wasn't to bring condemnation of the world, but rather to save it. And the choice is ours to believe and avoid condemnation or to be condemned and to choose to bear our own sin. And light came, but some people didn't want it. And they loved their darkness more. People want to have that control, and they want to do what they want to do, and people want to hide their deeds in the dark, and they don't want to reveal who they really are. And Jesus' earthly mission was not to condemn them, but to save them from their own sin and from themselves. Jesus didn't condemn Nicodemus here either. He corrected him. He didn't just say, well, you know what, Nicodemus, whatever your understanding of God and the truth is, that's fine, that's okay for you. No, he corrected him and he gave him the truth, the gospel. You have to go through the Savior to be saved. It's not good works, it's not position or status. Believe in the Son and you have eternal life. Now, it takes humility, realizing you're helpless. And it's not always fun to say, I'm a sinner and I'm not good enough to get to God. And now Nicodemus could have been thinking, Jesus, I'm an adult man. Being born again doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm supposed to return into my mother's womb? How long am I supposed to stay in her belly? Do I have to, you know, be a baby again? Is this some kind of Benjamin Button thing? No, spiritually, Nicodemus needed to understand that he needed to start over. He was a sinner that could not get to God on his own. He needed help outside of himself. He needed a rebirth. He needed to start over from scratch. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. Maybe you just kind of started going to church one day and it felt right, so you stuck around. But you've never really made up your mind. And you can't look back to a time where you believed on Jesus and were born again. I grew up in a church. My parents took me to church, it seemed like 57 times a week. But when I was 8 years old, I understood the gospel enough to know that I needed Jesus to save me, that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. So I called out and I put my faith in Jesus and I was born again. It doesn't mean everything's, you know, perfect. It doesn't mean I'm some kind of special holy person that's better than everybody else. No, it's a simple thing of allowing Jesus to pay the price of your sin because he is God. See, it's simple, so simple a child can do it, but it's not really easy. Because the older you get, the more you hold in your hands and the more that you don't want to let go, things that you're trusting in. Things that you have to put down. But this is the most important step in your faith journey. And at the end of every service, we give you the opportunity to make that decision, to realize that you're a sinner that falls short and you need Jesus to save you. And no amount of religious fervor or morality can get you there, that you don't have enough. When a child is adopted, everything can be ready and the room can be prepared and the paperwork is signed and the parents are committed and excited. But there's still a moment where the judge declares, this child is now legally yours. And from that moment on, that child's status is changed forever. And being born again is that moment. Not when you start going to church, not when you clean up your life. But when God declares you his child through faith in Jesus. And for some people, it's a dramatic and miraculous moment in their life. But for others, it's a quiet and confident step of walking towards Jesus. Either way, just like Nicodemus, you need to make that choice. Whether you've been a religious person for a long time, or maybe a first-time church attender, all of us need to have a time and a place where we can look back and say, that's when I believed in Jesus. And so now I have eternal life. See, it's not just about having a prayer that you prayed somewhere back in your past or a nice, sweet little story. That's important, but that's not where it ends. N.T. Wright says, what matters is that you are alive now and that your present life, day to day and moment by moment, is showing evidence of spiritual health, strength, and purpose. Yes, it starts with a spiritual birth, but then that leads to a spiritual life. And if all you have is that born again moment, then you're just a spiritual baby. We need growth and maturity and bearing spiritual fruit, but that comes from daily relying on the Holy Spirit to make us look more like our Father. And this happens through a vibrant prayer life and a process of learning from God's Word and applying it to our lives, and actions of serving other people and worshiping together with other Christians. This is how we become more like Christ and how we grow spiritually. Jesus really emphasized how important this topic is with three truly, truly statements in this passage. We must be born again. Nicodemus, from the outside, had all the markings of a top-tier religious person. But he was missing this part. He wasn't alive spiritually. And you can be spiritual, and you can be religious, and still be spiritually dead. And you can serve and attend and know the songs and still miss the new birth. And maybe that's you today. You've been a churchgoer for a long time, or maybe you've even read all the way through your Bible, and you could even be serving in children's ministry, and all those things are wonderful. But if you missed being born again, then you missed the most important thing. And you may say, well, I've been around so long, I would be embarrassed to admit that I haven't accepted Christ as my Savior. Well, first off, there's not a person in this room that wouldn't be immensely excited for you. And secondly, any momentary embarrassment is not worth missing the second birth, becoming a child of God and living for eternity with Him in the next life. And you can make that choice right now to be born again, to be saved. And you simply need to understand that you are a sinner that is dead in your sins, that just like the rest of us, you deserve hell, and we all fall short of God's glory. But God made a way through the cross of Jesus Christ for us to get to Him. And Jesus is God in the flesh, an equal part of the Trinity with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And sin was blocking us from getting to God. So God sent His Son to earth 2,000 years ago for the very purpose of bringing us back to God. Jesus died on the cross for our sin, the only innocent person to ever live, or died for all of us guilty people. 1 Peter 2:24 says it in an amazing way. It says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus in my place. And if you've never been born again, Jesus calls out to you today saying, truly, truly, you must be born again. And if you want to be a part of God's kingdom here on this earth and in the next life, truly, truly, you must be born again. Now that's where it starts, but it's not where it ends. It doesn't end with a new birth. Next comes new life. And we see this all over Scripture, like in places like 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This new life comes after the new birth. Romans 6:4 tells us that we were buried with Him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Colossians 3:10 tells us to put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And then 1 Peter 1:3 tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, we see a new birth. You must be born again. And after that is the new life. See, there's three parts of salvation, and that's justification. That's when we are declared innocent, and that happens when we put our faith and trust in Jesus and only Jesus to save us. And then secondly, there's sanctification. And that's the process of this new life as we continually put things down that don't look like Christ and we put on things and attributes, love, joy, peace, gentleness, these fruits of the Spirit that don't look like Phil Wayman, but they look a little bit more like Jesus than he did the other day. And this process of sanctification as we look more and more like Christ. And then one day, we'll get to take part in that third part of salvation, which is glorification. When we see him, the Bible says we will be like him and we will be redeemed once and for all in a place where there's no sin, no hurt, no pain, no parting over there when we get to be with Christ in the next life. See, this all starts with a new birth, but next comes the new life. And this is what Jesus is stressing to Nicodemus. The Pharisees cared a lot about keeping rules and being seen as morally good. And Jesus says, no, you got to start over. We saw last week that Jesus said, truly, truly, God is present with us. And he is working and he can bring dead things alive. In him is life. And today Jesus makes it clear, you must be born again. It's not enough to be religious or moral or knowledgeable. Without new birth through the Spirit, there is no true life in us. But when we believe on Jesus, we're made new, born from above. What begins as a new birth becomes a brand new life when we walk in the Spirit. We don't need to try harder or work up some kind of spiritual fervor. You need new life. You need surrender to hand it all over to him. And that life begins when you're born again through faith in Jesus. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we head into a time between us and God. We talk about this a lot, and that's because this is where it starts. In God's Word, especially in the Gospels, what you heard a lot was Jesus talking to people and saying, follow me. And that's the call today, is follow me. Put your faith in me. The Bible tells us that the wages of our sin is death. Our sin separates us from a holy God. But it also tells us the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's not just in the next life. That's now. We can experience eternal life and a life of living water flowing out from our souls. And that's where Jesus says we can never thirst again. That's accepting that gift of salvation. It doesn't mean that life is perfect, and it doesn't mean you'll never suffer. In fact, you may find that you suffer more. But what it does mean is that you're not alone. And what it does mean is that you are right between you and your Creator, and that you are assured that you are a child of God. And that you have new life now and eternal life in the next. If you've never done that, if you've never called out to God, if you can't go back to a time and a place, or you put your faith in Jesus Christ to save you, Romans 10:13 tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Or maybe you just have a story that you look back at and you really don't see any new life. There's no spiritual growth. And if you're honest, it was really more about just going through the motions or doing something someone told you to do. And it was less about you putting your faith and trust in Jesus and deciding to follow Him. You could settle that today once and for all. You could call on Him and ask for forgiveness of your sins, for Him to save you, that you might be born again to a new life in Christ. It's not complicated, but it's also not easy. This is why it says that it's hard for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God, because that person has so much to hold on to. But the person that says, everything that I have, everything that I have built, my morality, my good name, all of it, God, I lay it down at your feet and I put my faith instead in Jesus and Jesus alone to save me. That's a person that could be born again. May not be some kind of lightning strike or miraculous event. It may just simply be a steady, quiet decision to be a Jesus follower. And you can do that today, right now. You can do it tonight before you lay your head on your pillow. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. He's calling you to Himself right now. Answer that call and accept the gift. Realize you're a sinner. There's a penalty for your sin in a place called hell. Put your faith and trust in Jesus as the only way to get to God. Let's stand to our feet. God continues to work in hearts. If you make that choice today, write that on your connection card or let me know in some way. I'd love to be able to continue that conversation with you. We're going to sing. If you need your church family to pray over you for any reason today, regardless of what it may be, maybe it's just something happened this last week or you're struggling with something, you come down today and we'll pray with you.